Some treat prayer as a shopping list. Give me this, Lord. Give me that, God. Like we're pulling up to a drive-thru window. Today, Pastor Ray Bentley cautions us.
We must be very careful and humble and let God bring His word to pass and let Him live it out in our lives and answer our prayers according to His will. Prayer is not about me getting my will done. Prayer is about discovering His will, having His will done in my life.
Spreading the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. The Lord's promises are legion. He promises His care and compassion, His provision and direction. He promises answers to our prayers. But today, Pastor Ray reminds us God will give us the desires of our hearts, so long as our heart's desire and His heart's desire are in harmony.
Let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Here's the verses we're going to look at this morning. I'll read them to you. Verse 4, coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on Him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, He is precious, but to those who are disobedient, and now he quotes again, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who were once not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. All right. As he begins to talk about Him as the cornerstone, basically, what the prophet said is that the Messiah would be a stone upon which all the weight and the burdens of humanity could be laid. We strive and we yearn and we struggle through life on so many levels. And just, you know, isn't life this way? When one area that you've been worried about and then you pray through and God answers, begins to answer prayer, as soon as one gets kind of batted down, another one pops up over here. Where did that come from? Jesus desires to bear our burdens. You know why? Because it's what He said, His own words. It's easy for me, He said. Now, again, verse 4, as He says, coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, behold, and I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on Him will by no means be put to shame. I love that because he says here, he's talking about this cornerstone prophetically, that's a quotation. And then he turns around and says, and he who believes on Him will not be ashamed. I thought you were talking about a stone. Isn't a stone an it? No, prophetically that stone is a person, and that person is the Messiah, and on Him, if you will believe and trust in Him, you will not be put to shame. In other words, you won't regret it. And the idea of this cornerstone is that it is perfectly designed. It is shaped and hewn out to be a perfect cornerstone, again, upon which all of humanity can build upon Him. And it's not only a stone, it's a living stone, because you'd think of a stone being something that can support massive weight and upon which you can build a structure. Well, Jesus is that stone for humanity, but he is a living stone because he is risen and resurrected from the dead. Now, look with me in verses 7 and 8. It says, "Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to you who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense." Now that's from Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14. Isaiah lived 700 years before Jesus, the Messiah, came. And he is prophesying by the Spirit of the Lord, predicting the future, that when the beloved stone comes, the chief cornerstone that, you know, is metaphorically speaking of the Messiah, Isaiah says he will be rejected. And then Peter writes here, I believe it's in verse 8, "They stumble being disobedient to the word." God does not come to meet our expectations or how we think things should be in our lives. He has his own ideas, his own priorities, his own agenda, and we're always, you know, often the last to know what really is priority and important. We must be very careful and humble and let God bring his word to pass and let him live it out in our lives and answer our prayers according to his will. Prayer is not about me getting my will done. Prayer is about discovering his will and having his will done in my life. Well, so 1 Peter 2:8, I put this out of the NIV in your notes. "They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for." Now, this is interesting. Because on the one hand, you have human free choice. They had free choice. They could either receive Jesus or they could reject him. And they were freely able to do that. And they exercised their choice to reject him. And in the same breath of the same verse is God's foreordination. That they were, this was part of their destiny. God foreknew, and therefore there it was. So God's will, and here's the interesting thing. You've got free will and kind of this destiny all wrapped up in one breath. Peter doesn't try to explain it. And guess what? Paul talks about both, you know, human free choice and God's sovereignty, and he doesn't really explain it beyond a certain level as well. So what does that mean? It means that with the free will God's given us, we can't blame God for the choices we make. We're responsible, and whosoever will can call on the name of the Lord and be saved. But God still is sovereign, and he knows all things. Now, what is God building? Look again in verse 4. It says, "Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood." God is still building. God loves to build. He is building a spiritual house. Jesus said, "And I will build my church." But he is using different materials than in ancient times. He is using living stones. He is using human beings. And he is fitting us together. Now, so if I'm one living stone, you're one living stone, guess what that means? No individual stone is the whole spiritual house of God. You're only one stone in it. And at the same time, it shows the value of each stone, because if you've got a wall and one stone missing, what's everybody look at? The one stone that's not there. So each one of us is absolutely vital, necessary, and may I add, irreplaceable. Everyone has a role to play in the days in which we live. And I think that for all the difficulties that our current situation has brought to us, the opportunity is here for us to be and live as a body interdependently, leaning upon one another in a way that we have not maybe had to do or had the opportunity to do in a very long time. This is exactly what the early church was in the book of Acts. There was all kinds of outward problems, political problems, economic problems, persecution problems, but there was a dynamic interdependence of the church one upon another, and the presence of the Lord was mighty among them, and God was glorified in a marvelous way. I think we have similar circumstances even today. So Peter is writing to these five different provinces of believers, Jewish believers as well as Gentile believers, being brought and made one new man in the body of Christ all around ancient Turkey. And yet they are all one spiritual house. One spiritual house being blended together. When I think about the stones, I wish that all of you could go with me to Israel and see these stones. Because in the Bible, they talk about, David writes about it in the Psalms, he loves the stones of the temple. So we read it and we go, well, okay, David, kind of obviously some kind of metaphor or whatever. But there was a literal physical drawing power to this geographical place and this physical locality, and they loved the stones, and they counted the bulwarks and the gates, and they named them. They were precious to them. For us who live in modern times, it's a little difficult. We don't fall in love with the building. I don't see any of you kissing the walls or anything, which is good. If you start doing that, I'm going to have a little talk with you. Okay, but you've seen the Western Wall, and they walk up to that wall, and they kiss the wall, and they're praying, not to the wall, but through the wall to where they believe the temple was. But those stones even are holy to them. Why? And even what we see in modern times was reflected in ancient times, as David talks about. Here's the reason why. Because the temple, where this physical temple was, inside of the temple was the Holy of Holies, and the Holy of Holies was where God manifest, the Hebrew word is his Shekinah. The Shekinah, loosely translated, means the glory of God, and it's light, and it's visible. So in other words, the Shekinah is the visible manifestation of God. God's everywhere, whether you can see him or not. But when he manifests himself, it's called the Shekinah, and it's in light and cloud and glory as we see in the scriptures. And because the Shekinah of the visible, manifest presence of God was radiating, as it were, upon these stones, even after the visible Shekinah might have been removed, the stones themselves became precious. It's not that the temple could house God, as Solomon himself said when it was built. The heavens of heavens cannot contain you. How can this little house hold you? They knew they weren't building a house for God. What they were really building was a place of meeting. This is where God said, I will meet you. This is where I will communicate to you. This is where I will reveal myself to you. This is where you can see me. This is where you will worship me and know me. And therefore, even inanimate things like stones became extremely powerfully precious and holy to them.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. We're so happy to share Pastor Ray's messages with you each day here on Maranatha Radio. And we enjoy hearing when listeners find it a blessing. Listen to this.
Dear Pastor Ray, how delightful to listen to you speak God's word. I often take notes, look up scripture, and am moved to pray. God bless your every moment spent with your Bible. May you never tire of sharing your insight with us.
How have Pastor Ray's studies touched your life? Would you let him know? Send an email today to ray@raybentley.com. ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Now, let's move forward to the new covenant. Peter is writing and he says, you are living stones. And we now, under the new covenant, have been brought. Under the old covenant, even the priests, though there were tens of thousands of them, they could not all go into the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies where God manifests his Shekinah, and he could only go in one day a year. But now in the new covenant, it says that we, as we saw when we were in Hebrews, each individual son and daughter of God now spiritually, when you pray in the name of Jesus and enter into the heavenly throne, are brought into the very Holy of Holies. And you can come with open arms and boldness into the Holy of Holies. If physical stones were precious because God's glory had been in them, how much more precious are the living stones of human beings who are now filled with the Shekinah glory of God and His Holy of Holies that we have access to through prayer by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that we should love one another and respect one another and bless one another and encourage one another in this holy temple that He has given to us. Okay, verses, I want to do something here at the end, real quick. Verses 5 and 9, I want to put these two verses together just to make a couple of points before we wrap up here. Verse 5 says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And therefore it is also contained in the scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame.'" Now go to verse 9. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Now, this is great. Jesus is both king and priest. He is King of kings, Lord of lords, and he is the eternal high priest for us. Now, what you need to know is from in the old covenant days, God had separated these responsibilities. A king on Israel was a king only and could not be a priest. And a priest could only be a priest and could not be a king. And in fact, there's only one time that a king who was actually a good king, great king, and who loved God, but he got lifted up with pride, and he said, "You know, I'm pretty blessed. I think I could go in and offer sacrifices to God in the temple. Why can't I be a priest? I want to be a priest." And so he marches in, and God judged him. Gave him a disease. His name was Uzziah. 2 Chronicles 26:16. "But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense." God judged him. But the Messiah, so if the Messiah came, he would be a priest after the order of Melchizedek, who was the ancient king of Salem and also its high priest. So Melchizedek came before Levi came along, the Levitical priesthood. It's another order. And somehow this king was a high priest. He was also the king. His name was Melchizedek. He's a very interesting character, a mysterious character. Some even believe it's a theophany or an appearance of Christ who met Abraham himself. We read in Genesis 14, verse 18, "Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and he was priest of God Most High." And then in Psalm 110, verse 4, there's this prophecy about the Messiah. "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You," speaking of the Messiah, "are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." So he's of this priesthood that can be both priest and king. But now, guess what? You and I are also now called as priests in this amazing and royal, speaking of kingdom, priesthood, the spiritual part. Let me put it this way, as simply as I can. The Bible says all of you who are in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is in you, you are a priest. Now, it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to read it, and then to teach a Bible study on it. It's a whole different thing to actually believe it. We have enough knowledge and information. What we need is more faith to believe what God has already said. What if you actually believed and lived like you were a priest? Well, guess what priests do? We're to make sacrifices to worship God. Well, okay, what kind of sacrifices? We don't do animals anymore. That's done away with. Jesus is the last sacrifice and it's done. No more. It doesn't need anymore. So what is this new priesthood? What kind of sacrifices to worship our God does he want? And these last scriptures I want to read through very quickly with you. Here are the spiritual sacrifices you and I as priests, if we actually believe we are and live like we are, can begin offering. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Let's read this out loud. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This should make you different from the world. The world says, this is my body, I'll do with my body what I want. Well, now you come and say, no, I'm a Christian, I was bought with a price. Actually, the blood of God's own Son was paid for me. I don't own myself anymore. My body belongs to the Lord. You present your body as a living sacrifice. Hebrews 13, verse 15, let's read this out loud. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Isn't that cool? How easy is that? If I just give praise from my lips, God receives it as a sacrifice of worship from one of his priests. Hebrews 13, verse 16, let's read this. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Guess what Christians are supposed to do? They're supposed to do good, not bad. Philippians 4, 18, let's read this. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Well, what did he receive from Epaphroditus? Money. He received tithes and offerings given to Epaphroditus to bring to Paul so Paul could go do missions around the world bringing the good news to all people. So by giving money for the work of the kingdom, that is a sacrifice that a priest should bring. Finally, Romans 15, verse 16, let's read this. That I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. He's talking about evangelism. He's talking about sharing your testimony, sharing your faith. We're not all Billy Graham, but everybody's got a story. And what I like to say is, the story of how you came to Christ, guess what? You are the expert on your own life. Nobody can tell you how you felt or what happened to you. Hey, I was there, this is me, this is what happened to me. You are the expert on your own testimony and how you got saved. And by sharing that with others is a sacrifice that priests offer to the God that they worship.
Pastor Ray Bentley, pointing out how our testimony can be a sweet-smelling sacrifice before God. More insight today from our studies in 1 Peter here on Maranatha Radio. And if you'd like a permanent copy of today's message, contact us and mention the title, Our Foundation Stone. We'll send it to you on CD for a gift of any size. Again, it's called Our Foundation Stone. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in 1 Peter on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at raybentley.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available a resource that'll help our listeners enter into a new dimension of fellowship with the Lord. It's called Fast 40, Calling for God's Heavenly Fire. Most of us know what fasting is, but what's the significance of fire?
Oh, that's a great question. Every year, the Lord gives me kind of a word for our church, for our congregation. So I put that word that God gave to me for this year, 2018, the word he gave me was fire. Last year it was presence. I wanted to go up, you know, we'd been in the book of Exodus, going up to the mountain. I wanted to experience his glory, his presence. And then when the presence of God came, it was with fire. Jesus said, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So fasting is a way to get serious with God. When we get serious with God, he gets serious with us. So we put together this 40-day prayer journal. There's a scripture each day, and there's a place for you to journal what God speaks to you, promises he gives to you, encouragements, downloads, revelations that he might pour into your spirit. I think this is going to be a life-changing book for everybody that participates in it, David.
All right. Well, we want to send this resource your way to help bring this impact to your life. Again, it's called Fast 40, Calling for God's Heavenly Fire. And we'll send it to say thank you for your donation of any amount, which helps us to keep bringing Pastor Ray's daily studies to you each day. So write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127, or order online at raybentley.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in 1 Peter. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.